welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Knowing Spirit. I am Angela Thorne, and I'm sitting in for Reverend Shreese Thorne, who is unable to take this session today. And with me is Reverend Shreese's co-host, Reverend Lavon Bellharbor. Did I pronounce that correctly,
yes,
Lavon?
Yes, you did very good.
Okay.
That's a difficult one.
Well, difficult for those maybe who have not heard about it before.
Yes.
And like everything else, that is where the difficulty lies.
Yes, yes.
In not understanding or not knowing or hearing something, therefore not being familiar with it. But as we become more familiar and we allow ourselves to open up, then we can definitely understand a greater truth. Don't you, what do you think about that statement?
Oh, I agree. I remember all my life I've been a researcher on natural health and spiritual lessons, and many, many times I've heard many new things, and I have to, you know, I had to hear it at least three times usually for it to sink in. If I deciphered what's through my spirit, if it's what I saw is truth, you know.
That's right.
A struggle,
yeah.
Too.
Yes. And today our guest would be David Robert Ord, and he has written the book Your Forgotten Self, and it's mirrored in Jesus the Christ. And I know this will probably be a great show for you too, Lavon, because
yes. You
so love the Lord, and you have been, you know, with this kind of belief for quite a while.
Yeah,
and
actually,
David
50
has,
years almost.
Yes, yes. So we will allow David to share his truth with us. I have had the opportunity of reading most of his books, and I was thinking about it from the standpoint, wow, I wish when I was growing up that I had an opportunity to see Jesus, or to see the message that Jesus was giving us in the light that he has presented. I think, you know, this is going to be a great benefit to a lot of people, and I hope that they too will be able to open their hearts and all aspects of themselves so that they can touch onto the truth, because I believe that it will help them. Many of us who have walked the Christian path have become very confused, you know, wanting to accept a different type or a greater understanding. And it isn't very often that we can find someone to explain things to us, you know, from a different perspective.
Yes, there are so many different thoughts on Jesus, even. Even
That's
though the
right.
United States is basically Jesus Christ followers, but when you talk to people, you would think sometimes they're talking about a different entity.
That's right. That's
How about if I give out the phone numbers, because there may be something that someone out there is listening and want to either make a comment or ask a question. So how about if I give the phone number out right now?
While we were waiting for David to come
yes.
online. Absolutely, yes.
Okay,
please
it's
do that.
877-876-5227 or 888-815.
Hello?
Thank you. So I guess I
Hello?
Have different numbers.
The telephone numbers are, let us give them the telephone numbers.
Sure.
And so that they will be able to call in.
Yes.
The toll-free number from U.S. and Canada is 888-228-4494. 888-228-4494. That is from the U.S. and Canada. We also have a toll-free number worldwide, and that telephone number is 877 877-489-6350. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. We also have some direct lines. If anyone would be interested in trying those, one would be 530-776-5154, 530-776-5185, and 530-876-9916. Please give us a call if you would like to speak with any of us. Again, we have David Robert Ord, the author of Your Forgotten Self. If you can give us a call, giving us any comments or asking any questions of Robert or LaVon or Angela, we would really appreciate your call. We look forward to speaking with you soon. Thank you. Okay. Well, we are waiting to hear from David, and as soon as we make connection with him, we will...
I'm right here.
Him. Hello, David, you're there?
I got patched out there for a little while, but they patched me back in again.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Oh, I hope you're not going to be playing those games on this show.
Well, I hope not. but I certainly resonated with the comment you were making a little bit earlier about wish I could have had this information that's in these books when I was growing up, because, my, would it have saved me from some awfully difficult times in life?
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
And that's the purpose, really, of writing Your Forgotten Self, because so many people, I think, are trying to make the Christian message work in their lives, but they don't experience the love and the joy and the peace that clearly Jesus did and his disciples did. And they get it in moments. They get glimpses of it here and there, but not that sustained sense of fulfillment. That is what he promises when he talks about, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's not what I experienced in my life as a Christian growing up, and it certainly isn't what I see in most Christians around me. And that's the reason for the book.
Wonderful.
Great. Well, I applaud you for having the courage to do this, because you're really going down that road less traveled. And, and it's so often, you know, when we shift our sense of moving away from the herd mentality, we are faced with a lot of difficulties. But I applaud you for doing this and sharing it, your message, with those who are willing to accept and who are ready to accept.
I'm just thrilled that Namaste Publishing went ahead with this book. I'm the editorial director there, but I came to that after the book was accepted. And I'm thrilled that this book numbers among that select number of books that they publish, which are just so cutting edge and so essential in our world today. You know, it all started with The Power of Now with Eckhart Tolle, and then A New Earth and Stillness Speaks are Eckhart's other books. Then Michael Brown's book that has touched me greatly in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, because I was in the New Orleans wider area when this happened, and the amount of despair and stress this brought into people's lives. Michael Brown's book, The Presence Process, just touched my life tremendously from Namaste Publishing. And now I get to edit these books and to bring more of these books to the world. And Constance Kellow's The Leap, Are You Ready to Live a New Reality, is just an astounding book about living in a whole new consciousness, the very consciousness that Jesus lived in. And now I'm thrilled to see my own book about Jesus, Your Forgotten Self, out there too. It's a wonderful privilege to be a part of something that is restoring to the Western world, to the whole world, hopefully, but especially the Western world, the essential, true, deep message of Jesus that has been lost for so many centuries, buried under a lot of misunderstanding and distortion. And yet it's coming through clearly today in the teachings of people like Eckhart Tolle, and I'm thrilled to be a part of that.
That is absolutely wonderful. It is really great news for all of our brothers and sisters who are certainly seeking to get back into that divine nature, or to remember the
yes,
divine
to remember.
Nature. Yes, remember. Yes. That is the operative word here. Remember the divine nature. Remember their forgotten selves. And so that is wonderful that you have done this. What
you
I would
know,
like to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you know, I often ask myself, how over this last 1900 years did so many of the teachings of Christianity get to be the exact reversal of the truth? Now, they hit on truth in that they address the issue that needs to be addressed, but then they reverse it. The doctrine of original sin is a classic example. You know, so many people in, say, the New Age, New Thought movement today want to just sort of throw out the idea of original sin because they don't see it as a valuable idea. Yet it addresses something that is essential. And that is the issue of why we do not live up to the potential we have as people in whom divinity is resident. Why is it we fall short of being what we are? Now, what the doctrine of original sin ended up teaching us, of course, is, well, there's something completely flawed with us. We're completely distorted. We've come into the world tainted through the whole sexual act and all of that sort of thing, and we've inherited a fallen nature. Scripture nowhere talks about that kind of thing. What it does talk about is the fact that we have forgotten, lost sight of, and failed to believe in who we really are. If you look at the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were created in the image of God. There was nothing to improve. There was nothing imperfect. They were just wonderful creatures who were in the image of God. But then someone told them, the serpent told them, that there was something inadequate about them, that they needed to become like God, they needed to become wise. And that's, if you look at it, the great fallacy that we have been following for 2,000 years. We have been trying to become something that we already are and don't recognize. And funnily enough, it's not only in the whole Christian movement that we're trying to become something, but it's right throughout the New Age, New Thought movement, too. We're all on a journey trying to become something as if there is some sort of destination, when in fact there isn't. There is just a wonderful acceptance of who we are, and that is what enlightenment is. So our original sin is that we're born into a world that from the moment we come into this world, we start breathing the air of self-doubt. We start breathing the air from the whole structure of family, school, everything about society that tells us to be inauthentic, that it's not good enough to be who you truly are, and you certainly can't be real. And we put the cap on children's enthusiasm, their excitement about life. We put a lid on it, and we stop them being excited in the way that they are. And we all learn to live in this act for the rest of our lives. That's our original sin. And out of that suppression of who we really are, our spontaneous, joyous, loving, wonderful, exciting, magnificent, divine self in the image of God, out of the suppression of that comes everything that is wrong with our world today. So the doctrine is valuable. It just got distorted. There is something wrong. It's our inability to believe who we are. And you can do that with just about every one of the Christian doctrines.
Yes, but it's the way, as you said earlier on, that it has been presented to us. And my understanding in everything is energy, and everything, therefore, has energy. From this energy, these teachings of the past, this has become the energetic culture, so to speak,
yes,
for humanity. And I think that is what makes it so very difficult for us to remember that truth about ourselves. It's like what they say about children. You tell a child that he's stupid enough or dumb enough, and he becomes that which he has been told about himself.
Oh, didn't I live that one out in life?
I bet most of us have done that.
You know, it's really funny. My brother's 4 years younger than me. He still lives in our hometown of Harrogate in Yorkshire in England. And, you know, he was the one who grew up being told that he was good with his hands and no good with his brain. And I was the one who was good with my brain and no good with my hands. So today he's the one who uses his brain and makes all the money. And I'm the one who can hang wallpaper best. We believe this nonsense that we are taught And that's why it is original sin. It's here before us. We didn't cause it. We inherit these ideas. We pick them up from everyone around us, and they are inculcated into us until they become literally our life energy.
Yes.
And everything
yes.
flows from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Other than speaking the truth through books, how can we really help humanity to share this expanded awareness that, you know, people like you have been in touch with and you have realized? I know that your life must have changed. Maybe that might be a starting point to share with others how your life changed, what it brought to you, what it, you know, how you have developed more from this awareness. And what are some of the things that we can do to move us beyond the doctrines that we have been told so much
yeah.
about all of the illusions, the untruths that we have been told? How do we get out of that? Speaking from my
yeah, that's a wonderful question. You know, I grew up a raving maniac in many ways. When I look back at my life, I pity the people I was close to years ago. It's so sad that we come into the world such beautiful babies, and then we're in a culture which, and the one I grew up in Yorkshire, the school teaching, the parenting at home, the whole ethos of how you brought children up was brutal. Brutal. And if we couldn't add two and two correctly, we were hit with either a table tennis bat on the flat of our hands or with a ruler on our knuckles or a cane which almost cut into you on our behinds. Because we couldn't spell something correctly or because we couldn't add, it was sadistic. We
yeah.
grew up with that, and as a result of that, I grew up incredibly sad and incredibly enraged. So when I got to the point of being 20 or so and got into relationships, all of this rage started to come out. And I found myself literally a raving maniac. I mean, here I was angry about everything. And it was when this message started to take hold of me, when I began to understand that all of the pain that had been inflicted in childhood, all the things that happened and shouldn't happen to anyone, were not who I really am, my life began to change. As long as I thought I'm this wounded, victimized person, I was angry, sad, miserable. But when I began to differentiate between that image of myself, that way of seeing myself, and recognizing that was a false self created in reaction to my childhood, I began to see that my true self was pristine. It had never been messed up by anything. Now, I think that is one of the most powerful insights there are. Some years ago, I was privileged with a young Jewish lady. She was about 40 years old, her and her husband and a little girl, wonderful people. She had had trichotillomania since she was a little girl of 5 or 6 years of age. Started pulling out first her eyelashes and eyebrows when she was little, then eventually her hair. When I met her, she had a scarf on her head pretty well perpetually because she was pulling out all of her hair. She had been to doctors. They tried drugs. She'd been to psychiatrists, psychologists. She'd been through everything imaginable, rebirthing, all kinds of things to try to get her out of this. And at 40, she was completely stuck in these cycles of pulling her hair out. I began to teach her what I had learned about myself, that what I grew up believing I was, saw as my self-image, thought of myself as being, is not who I am at all. I began to share with her that the real person she was had never been touched by any of this. And if in each moment when she was tempted to pull her hair, if she could just for a moment still herself, she could feel the real person she was as opposed to this person she'd learned to think she was. The results were stunning. She broke the pattern completely and today has a full head of hair years later. That's the power of understanding who we really are. It changes us completely. I have gone from being a person who was angry, jealous, upset, a person who couldn't stand being alone very long, to being someone who spends almost all of my time alone these days, delightfully so, happy, filled with joy, my life is so filled with peace and joy and the feeling of connection to everyone and everything today. When I look back at my previous life, it is hard to believe I'm the same person on the same planet. And it's been this way for an increasing period of time now. And for me, Hurricane Katrina 2 years ago over now was the final thing that really pushed me into this consciousness of Jesus, this awareness of the deep peace, the deep love and connection, and the spontaneous joy, which is different from happiness, because you can actually feel sad about, say, someone being sick or dying or a relationship or something that breaks up. You might feel sad about that, but it doesn't touch the bedrock joy of who you are. What a way to live. That's how it transformed me. So now all I want to do is share this with the world through this book.
Now, like you said, you told that young girl all she had to do was learn who she is. But,
yes.
But how would you tell someone to do that? I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. You know, in my own life, there was such a huge layer of pain that I never let myself feel at all. My father died in England. I had been gone to New Zealand for 5 years. And something in me that spring of 1973, I was in Auckland, New Zealand, working. Something in me just began to tug on me, you have to go back this summer. And I said to my boss, I need to go back this summer and see my mom and dad. It's been 5 years. And he said to me, you know, I really need you this summer. I'll pay your trip if you wait till next summer. But something in me, that inner voice, just tugged at me to go. I got back, and 2 or 3 weeks later, my father died. It was one of those moments when I really, really listened to myself. It was a life-changing moment for me.
Wow.
I have come to realize that deep within all of us, there is an inner voice. It's not an audible voice. It's a felt perception, as Michael Brown, who wrote The Presence Process, puts it. A felt perception. And that felt perception is our true self. I did not know how to feel when my father died. When I buried him 33 years ago, though there was a deep sadness and loss, I did not know how to shed a tear. Then about 28 years ago, I was in the Los Angeles area. I had moved to live there by then. And a man who became a good friend of mine and a mentor of mine was sharing some things among a group of friends one day. And after he'd read something, he looked over to me and he said, "So David, what do you feel about that?" And I told him what I thought about it. And then he said, "Okay." He said, "Well, you just shared with me what you thought about this. What do you feel about it?" And so now I told him with a lot of emotion in my voice what I've thought about it. And then he said to me, "Well, David, you have now told me with a lot of emotion in voice what you think about it. But I'm asking you, what do you feel about what I just read?" And I said to him, "Harry, what on earth are you talking about?" I had no clue about feeling. When I began to feel, that was the start of it. When I opened the floodgates, there was such a mountain of pain in me. It was unbelievable. But I discovered something, that when I let myself feel that pain in its immensity, blocked off from my days of growing up, I was able to go beneath the pain in time, and I started to find a me, an identity rooted in the divine that I had no clue existed at all. It was the authentic David, the real David. Now, for a long time, I went back and forth between the two. I'd be in the authentic one minute, the inauthentic the next. So what I would say to anyone is, whatever you're feeling, let yourself be with the feeling. Don't wallow in the feeling. Don't rehearse the feeling like a choir, because if you do, the groove will get deeper. Don't keep talking about it and all of that kind of thing with your friends. But allow yourself to sit and breathe, and I recommended to people what Michael Brown talks about, which is connected breathing. That is, you just breathe normally, but you don't let there be a pause between the in-breath and the out-breath. Breathe for 15 minutes. And as you do so, you will find that the pain dissipates, and beneath it There is this joyous you that has never gone away. It's that exuberant little kid that you were born to me to be, that smiled, that was spontaneous, that was excited about life. That's there in every one of us, which is why Jesus says, unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to, he said, become like a little child, be converted and become like a little child. In other words, we have to go back to being the person we originally are that we've lost touch with and start our life all over again, free of all of that distortion that has been put on us. And the amazing thing is, when we do that, outpours this joy, this love, this peace, this wonder, patience, kindness, caring, connectedness to the whole creation. It's incredibly transforming. It's who we've always been.
Yes, yes. And I like what you said about feeling. I chuckled at it, actually, and I hope it didn't come across as though I was doing anything other than remembering what I was going through,
yeah,
or what I have been going through.
Yeah.
When my daughter first asked me how did I feel about something, I became really indignant, and, you know, really, really indignant. And, so much so that, you know, but she kept needling me, and that was the first time I realized that I was not really in touch with any feelings about
anything
at all. I had buried it so deeply. So I have to agree with you. We have to get to the feeling part of us, and many times we believe we are feeling, but we really are not.
There's a world of difference between feeling and emoting.
Yes.
Emotions come out of the brain. They
come,
they're triggered by several different things. They can be triggered by what we say to ourselves, by reactions of the reptilian brain, the basic limbic system of the brain stem. They can come from a variety of sources. But feeling is the heart. And the heart is different from the emotional body. We have a physical body, and a mental body, and an emotional body, and then we have the heart. And the heart is where we connect with what I would call God, being, presence, whatever term works for people. The term isn't important. But God speaks that language of deep feeling. And the feeling of the heart is... It is a stable thing. It's a state of being rather than an emotional reaction, although it is packed with emotion. But the difference would be, for example, let's take a couple who have planned on having a romantic evening, and one of them had to go out to a meeting, and then something happened in the meeting, and they got cheesed off about it, and so now they come home. And so instead of this turning into a romantic evening, they say the wrong thing, and the next thing you know, this couple are in bed. He's on one side, she's on the other, and it's like, you know, there's a wall of ice between them, and don't touch me, don't talk to me. That's the emotional reaction. I'm upset. But if you look deeper than that, in both of their hearts, probably they're lying there wishing they could reach out to the other and touch and make up. So the heart is always one of connection and love. It's always peaceful and calm. It's always joyous. But our emotional life in our brain takes over and eclipses that. But as we lie there in the darkness and in the silence, we can feel both. We can feel the emotional reactivity that's got a grip on us, and we can also feel the deep feeling of the heart, which is where we are connected with the vibrational dimension, the dimension that is God. We can feel them both spontaneously. And if we will let ourselves melt into that, we can then let the emotion go, settle ourselves down, soothe ourselves, calm ourselves, and then reach out from the heart. Now, that's the spiritual path that I see in Jesus, person who connected from the heart. Not emotional reactivity, but powerful, deep feeling that resonated with every human being that he ever came across.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, I could not have said that any better myself. And that is absolutely beautiful. And I must agree that we have to get to that point, all of us. If we expect to live on a planet where we can know peace, we are constantly looking for peace. We are always expecting, when are we going to know peace? Why can we not live in peace? But without knowing peace within ourselves,
yes,
collectively we are not creating peace on the planet, and therefore affecting the entire universe. Yeah.
And peace is a given. It's here. The
it's
peace
here.
Of God that passes comprehension is all around us. It's within us. We just have to become still enough, quiet enough, stop all that mental activity, all that emotional reactivity, to let that peace surface.
So it sounds like meditating, huh?
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch that comment. The connection is just not super good.
Okay, would you say it's the same as meditating? Is that a word, or is it different than meditating?
Meditators, yes. Meditators, I think, are trying to move into that understanding of that peace, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
What I do is I go into stillness. I found that I could never meditate successfully. We're all different personality types, I guess. Some people find meditation just a wonderful thing that they can do. It never really worked for me. And then I read a marvelous book, which I would recommend to anyone. It's called Dance of a Fallen Monk. And his name was George Fowler. And he had been a Trappist monk for like 16 or 20 years. You know, the Trappist monks are pretty well in silence the whole time. So he did a lot of meditation. And eventually he ended up leaving the order. He married a nun. And he wrote another book called Learning to Dance Inside. And in it he talks about how meditation of that kind never worked for him. So we all have to find what works for us. What works for me is going into the stillness with the normal connected breathing. You just don't pause between the in-breath and the out-breath, but it's not an exaggerated form of breathing at all that Michael Brown talks about in the presence process. And that enables me to become still. And when I become still, I don't try to stop thoughts, don't do any of that. Just breathe and let myself become very still and present. And that's when I'm able to really feel the connection. That empowers my day. Feeling that connection, feeling the peace that is a given. Michael Brown says in his talks, we now have a DVD out of Michael Brown on the Namaste Publishing website. That's www.namastepublishing.com. And I always say it wrong. I have this English sort of way of saying it. Namaste, I believe, is how you say it in this country. But Michael Brown has a DVD in which he explains all of this. And peace is a given. It's in the Middle East. It's in Africa. It's in the Far East. There is peace everywhere. The problem is human beings don't become still enough to just sink into it, tune into it, and to let it be. Now, that's what Jesus did. He let that peace be there. And it governed his whole life. Nothing rattled him. Nothing got to him and caused him to react. He was able to stay centered and calm, using his head instead of losing his head throughout everything he was doing. And that's what increasingly the life of Christ in us looks like.
Easier said than done, though, David. You know, I know that even my path, I have had quite a struggle. And as I spoke earlier on, this energy of thought, of belief that has been handed down to us, it's not an easy connection to break.
No.
So other than the gifts of the books and the teachings that are now coming forth, it will take some time for many of us to really get to that place to realize that we are already peace. We are already the divine. But
yes,
we have to remember that we are peace, and we have to be able to see everything through the eyes of peace if we would like to collectively allow others to see peace. You know, my understanding of the energy connection of things is that we have a collective consciousness.
Yes.
And if the collective consciousness says that we are all sinners, then it is really going to be difficult for those who would like to know themselves to be anything different than a sinner to get out of that tug of war, to get away from that energetic pull. And so how you have shared with us, you know, some really great insights, how it has changed your life. You know, you gave us an example of how you were able to help someone, and I'm sure you have helped more than many, many more than just that one example that you shared of getting back into, of knowing that truth within us. What are some of the other things that, seeing that you have come from the background, you taught for quite a while the Christian doctrine as you knew it in the past.
Yeah.
How are you finding that you can now break that gap between your old teachings and the new teachings?
For me, you know, it was an evolution. It was a slow, gradual evolution. As I read the Bible, I began to see things that were just different from what I had always believed. I started to really pay attention to what I was reading. You know, here's an example of it. If you look at the letter to the Romans in the 7th chapter, and there are all those statements that Paul makes about the state of the flesh and so forth, and the places he mentions our natural fleshly mind, and how these things are opposed to God. But the piece that I didn't see, you see, I resonated with all of that. Yes, I'm no good, I'm rotten, I'm a failure, all of that. God help me. The only reason I'm accepted is because of God's great mercy, and I'm an absolute worm. That all resonated very nicely with me because that's what I learned from my parents, my school teachers. You can't add that sum up, boy, correctly. You are a no-good son of a, you know?
Yeah,
this type of teaching was put into me. So when I read this in Scripture, I believed it. I believed that of myself. Now, I read right over the statements where Paul says in that 7th chapter that in my inner being, in who I really am, in my spirit, my heart, I yearn to do the things of God. I want to do the right thing. So I didn't see that my true self is good. It's beautiful. It's even perfect. I just read right over that. I saw all the negative things and couldn't see what Paul was saying. Then I began to understand what Paul meant by the difference between flesh and spirit. When he talked of spirit, he's not talking of some otherworldly reality. He's talking of our hearts. He's talking of who we are in our essence. When we are authentic, when we're real, like a little kid that skips up and down with excitement and is just out there real, when we are real, that's spirit. And flesh is not referring to the body. The Greek word used there is sarx, which is very different from the word soma. Soma refers to the body. Sarx refers to the flesh, and it's talking about a mental concept of myself as a fleshly being. In other words, it's my self-image. We have grown up with a self-image that has replaced our true sense of who we are, our sense of being, of divine presence. So, in the absence of not being allowed to be who I am, being told that who I am is not good enough, that I need to change, that I need to improve, which is the message I heard from day to day growing up, and in believing that, I formed an image of myself based on what society, my parents, and everyone around me wanted to be. And that's the false self. That's what Paul means by the flesh. It's what he calls the carnal mind. And that's enmity towards God. It's hostile towards God's being. So there is built into us, from the way we've grown up, a great resistance, to being the divine selves that we are in the Christ, in the Buddha, or however one wants to word that. There's a resistance to it. And this is what's meant by sin. It's a resistance to being authentic as we really are. And shedding that usually comes through a lot of pain. Certainly in my life, that's how it came. Now, Eckhart Tolle says it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And I think he's right. I think it is possible today for people not to have to take that long journey, that they can come to find within themselves this true being that they are without going through all of that pain. Having said that, I have another book out from Namaste Publishing. It's only available on the www.namastepublishing.com website, but it's called Lessons in Loving, A Journey into the Heart. And it is an unpacking, an explanation of the story of the Little Prince. And if I say it myself, it's quite wonderful because that's one of the most marvelous stories when we really understand it that's ever been written. And I had certainly put it up there as a parallel to my scriptural understanding. The the airman that this book features doesn't know his real self at all. And as a result, he lives a very lonely and isolated life. And one day he crashes in the Sahara Desert, 1,000 miles from anywhere. And this little fellow from the skies appears to him, called the Little Prince. And he begins to lead him into an understanding of himself and to recognize that the only way he can see anything correctly, get real perception, is through the heart. And the airman wakes up to find out who he is at last. Now, this is the parallel story of Jesus. It's the parallel story of the Buddhist teaching. It's us coming to see that we have not known ourselves and finding out for the first time who we really are and allowing that to surface. I think when people want it, when people have a deep desire for it, it happens. I think that that's the problem. We think we have a desire for it. We call ourselves seekers. But actually, our seeking, our searching, is really all about the ego, which is the false self. And the heart doesn't need to seek anything. The heart knows. The heart is already in tune. It's there with us, speaking to us at every moment, if we once give up the ego. Now, this is where the Christian doctrine of having to die daily, being crucified with Christ and so forth comes in, and being raised up to new life, a heavenly life. Because we have to die to the whole way we've seen ourselves. The way I picture myself, think about myself, feel about myself, is not the real feeling me that I was born to be. So that has to die. And that's where the pain comes in. But I think that it can be done as a choice. I think a person come to that place in their life where their life crashes in the desert and they can decide to access the peace within them. And it doesn't have to take years. It just takes becoming still. I've been enormously helped by Eckhart Tolle's books and especially by listening to his CDs. We have many of them on the Namaste Publishing website. I've been tremendously helped by Michael Brown's The Presence Process. And I think the more that one washes one's brain with this kind of material, the more one comes into this reality that my book, Your Forgotten Self, Mirrored in Jesus Christ, is showing us. That's how I've come into this journey anyway.
So let's say you have a little baby born. So how can you start with a child? I mean, what are the mistakes that people do? But I mean, I know one thing. I think even when a child cries, I've seen parents spank them, you know, and I'm like,
yes,
that kid is crying for a reason, and all that spanking did was what? Make him cry more. So how can you start with a little one? You know, and so you raise
the first thing is to stop all spanking altogether. You know, it is an amazing thing how the Christian world has advocated, so much of it has advocated spanking. You know, if you go, they will go back to the statements in Proverbs about taking a rod to a child and all of this kind of thing.
Yeah,
well, they
ought
to look at the source of some of those proverbs because they were written by Solomon. And what happened to Solomon's son? Solomon's son put such a burden on Israel, taxing them and so forth, that he ended up splitting the kingdom. And the whole thing went down the drain after Solomon's death. Solomon was not a good parent. He raised a terrible son, and it's not an example for us, and it's very different from Jesus, who said, "Let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So what I have done, I've raised my son since he was one. His mom and I divorced when he was still one. I've raised him pretty well on my own. He's now 23, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but increasingly I have learned to let him be authentic. Let him be who he truly is. Don't try to make him in my image. So I would say that we need to enter into a child's pain when they're hurting and crying or they're struggling with something and simply be there for them. Don't rescue them. Don't try to do it for them. But just be a witness to their struggle, to their growing, to what they're going through in life. To be a witness who is patient and calm and loving and simply present to them. That's the greatest gift, to hear them, to listen to them, to be there.
So the best thing is if you can homeschool your child because you know when you send them out there, that's not going to happen.
Our children are going to have to find their own journey, their own path. And, you know, Cahil Gibran makes that wonderful statement in his book, The Prophet, where he says, your children are not your children. They come through you, but they are not yours. And our task is simply to let them fly as arrows flying free. So we want to be there as a mirror to them. And my son is a wonderful, I've probably learned more from my son than almost anyone else by seeing myself mirrored in him, letting myself enter into situations with him where some point of discussion comes up. And then instead of saying, and one can do this with a partner in the same way, instead of saying, well, why does this person do this thing? Ask myself, why does what this person does drive me up the wall? Now then you grow. You do that with a partner, you do that with your children. Instead of seeing them as wrong, seeing them as mistaken, look at why that drives you nuts.
Angela, that's what you and I do with people, right? Similar?
That's right.
We call them messengers.
Yes, messengers. Michael Brown uses that term in the presence process. Messengers. They are divine messengers. Everyone around us that we are reacting to, if we stop and quiet ourselves and just begin to say, okay, what in me is touching me that it's causing this emotional charge? And when we do that, we begin to see into ourselves, which is the start of intimacy. And Michael has a new DVD on intimacy. A CD on the radiance of intimacy on the Namaste website. And we start to see into ourselves, and then that is how we can take ourselves on and grow. Because we recognize, okay, I am not this person who gets mad or gets impatient or gets intolerant or snaps and chews someone's head off. I am this calm, peaceful person, and it's a choice to be in each moment what I truly am.
And if we don't, we need not to get hard on ourselves, because
yes.
You know, I think that's the hardest thing, because in the Christian movement, at least what I was brought up in is,
Oh, yes. You
know, you were always doing something wrong. And I, now that I'm older, I realize I wasn't acting like my mother. So
right.
I wasn't really wrong, but she thought I should be like her. And
yep.
We are not the same, because we just
exactly.
aren't, period, now
so
that
see,
I've
this is,
gotten
this
away
is why
from
this
there.
Is all about faith.
Yeah.
It's all about believing. Believing in ourselves as what God made us to be, the image and likeness of God. Believing that the divine is manifesting as us. And to the degree that we believe it, we will be it. To the degree that we don't believe it, we won't be it. Which is why our world is in the horrible mess it's in today. It's in a mess because we're in a mess inside. It's just a reflection of what we're like inside. Our political situation, our polluting of the environment. My gosh, when I think of the mercury that we're putting in our waters and things, to where we're telling people don't eat fish very often anymore. And I think, what are we doing? Have we any sense of what we're doing? But it's all coming from within. It's coming from how we feel in our confusion about ourselves, because we're not in touch with our authentic being. Our authentic being is like Jesus. And that's what Jesus comes to show us. He comes to be the light, to shine on us so that we can be enlightened, just to see, oh, I'm not this. And in any given moment, we can feel those two parts of us. We can feel the part that's learned to put on the act, to be inauthentic, that we grew up in response to society. And we can feel the true us. And it's a question of, in each moment, am I going to say yay or nay to who I really am? Am I going to be authentic and real, like Jesus was? Or am I going to live the act, which is what sin is, because sin means missing the mark. It's like an arrow shooting from a bow, and it misses the bullseye. We're just not being real. We're being off-center. We're beside ourselves, as we say. That's what sin is. And repentance is shedding that whole false self and starting to be authentic like Jesus.
Well, you know, one thing we can do with anyone and everyone is, no matter what they say or do, accept them exactly as they are.
Absolutely.
That is true love. And I know when I look back, some of the hardest things that hurt the most was when I just was me and someone stopped me and tried to correct me. And I literally listened, sat afterwards, and I thought, what did I do wrong? But I
yeah.
was just being me. But that did do damage to me. It made me be, when I was with people, I tried to act a certain way so I didn't get reprimanded.
Yes.
So we don't become the real. We disappear.
That's the inauthenticity right there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we do with so many of we all can say we've done it to people.
Yeah.
And that's what I have been working on. Just 2 days ago, my one daughter is doing some stuff that I accept it. I understand because we talk all the time. But others have come up to me, why is you letting her do that? You know, and I'm saying, well, what's she doing wrong?
Yeah.
But no, they don't. They just see because of the rules that are in our society. But if they really sat and watched, they would just be relaxed and leave her alone.
Right. So if you see the images that Jesus uses of a world of darkness,
uh-huh.
In darkness you can't see who people really are. And the light gets shined on, and then you can see who people really are.
Yeah.
It's all about authenticity.
Yeah. And to accept them exactly where they're at, even if it doesn't look like you said, the darkness. We can't see.
And to allow the fact that God is in them, the divine is in them, presence is working in every aspect of their life, and some of the worst things that we do sometimes turn out to be our salvation. They're the thing that push us to really wake up to who we are. So there's no place for ever judging someone for the path they're taking. And that's so wonderfully brought out in the parable of the prodigal son. There is no judgment of the son who goes out and makes a mess of his life. Rather, there is the joy of him coming back because he needed to do that. There wasn't another way for him to wake up.
Yes, and I think that is the most difficult thing for us as, you know, a human form. I don't know of any other way, but, you know, moving through the Christian doctrine and moving through the beliefs that I had entertained or had been, you know, programmed through me or however we may want to look at it, that was the most difficult thing to accept, even though we have been told over and over, no judgment. But we have always been told so many different things, you know, how good we are not and, you know, what is wrong.
Yeah.
That it is just we copy this so much all the time.
Right.
It's getting close to our closing time, and I know we may still have a few minutes, but I would like to share again that we are speaking with David Robert Ord, and he is the author of Your Forgotten Self, Mirrored in Jesus the Christ. I would like to say thank you to LaVon as well for sharing and asking questions. And I'd like to mention that I am Angela Thorne, and I am sitting in for Reverend Cherise Thorne. Cherise is the author of Knowing Spirit. And her belief is that in order to get to know spirit, that same inner authentic self that you're talking about, David, is through healing the soul. And she has many different insights into her book in how that can be done through her own journey. So again, just like what we were saying, we are each doing it in the manner that is comfortable for us to do this, and at the stage that we are at. And I believe at this point what I would like to offer anyone is to search and to really genuinely search and don't give up. My feeling was when I was going through my search was that nothing seemed to make any sense. And therefore, I would feel really neglected and you know, all of the different choices, you know, from this illusionary self kept coming up. But it's to allow ourselves the freedom to continue to bring into our existence so many of the different options that are there. And in my heart, I feel very grateful that you are able to share this with such devotion. And I know that many people who are still in believing in Christianity will be able to move beyond the concepts that are being shared with them at this time, not only to help themselves, but to help those who have been handed to them, as we would say, to bring up the children.
Well, you know, Your Forgotten Self is at this time of year is particularly pertinent because it makes a wonderful Christmas gift. If we've got Christian friends or non-Christian friends that we want to introduce a really personal meaning sense of Jesus, of what he really represents in each of us. I mean, bookstores, this is the time of year to go get this particular one to share as a Christmas gift with people.
Yes, I think that will be a real great gift. Yes, absolutely. Because I think we have forgotten, you know, why we first decided to really celebrate Christmas.
Yes.
I think the truth of that season has really gone past us.
about who we really are.
Yes.
That's right. That's
even
right.
Jesus said he came here to show us the true character of God. Period.
Yes.
That's what I get out of the scriptures.
Absolutely.
From Jesus. When all this other stuff got added on, you know.
Yep.
Yes. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, David.
I've enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. It was very, very wonderful.
Thank you for sharing with us all and for, you know, infusing the consciousness with your theories. And I know that those who are able to accept this at this time will be greatly helped. So thank you very much. And I must say that welcome to Namaste Publishing, because with you as an editor, is that what you said, that you were there?
Yes, I'm the editorial director there.
The editorial director. Then I know that you are going to be helping many others share that truth and therefore bringing greater awareness to us all.
All the books and tapes and DVDs and CDs at Namaste Publishing are just the groundbreaking. So it's www.namastepublishing.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed. I know Don said that we have a few more minutes to go, and he will give us the countdown. So I am aware. Thank you. All right. We have gotten the signal. We have to go. Thank you very much indeed,
yes,
David.
Thank you.
And thank you, Lavon, for sharing time with us.
Thank you.
Thank
all.
You again. Bye-bye. This is Knowing Spirit. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Sharice Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Sharice sending you light and love on your journey home.